Shut up and sit down.
When I record podcasts from here on out, man, it's like he sets me in the mood, in the right mood, man. He touches all of those buttons. So let's go ahead and get into the show. Welcome to The Rotation. This is a weekly podcast that covers sports, media, video games, movies, and anything else that tickles my fancy. My name is Curtis Gabriel, your weekly bearded host on this ear candy. And sadly, this hasn't been a weekly podcast here in the last few months and everything because, you know, I'm kind of doing this stuff solo. Life gets in the way. And, you know, just shit happens, everybody. So I am happy to be back. I hope everybody out there is doing well. Sadly, this is the month of July, and it is a very slow time in most of the news and most of the media and everything. Looking down at my notes, what do I got here? I mean, so much has went on since the last time I recorded for you guys. I mean, the NBA Finals happened. We've had free agency. I mean, Jimmy Butler is now a Timber puppy. Yeah, I'm not calling you the Timberwolves until you guys actually, maybe not, I'm not going to say make the playoffs, but you got to be competitive until I start calling you the Timberwolves. So you're the Timber puppies right now. But the Timber puppies they've revamped their roster. LeBron is unhappy. The Rockets seem like they're really trying to contend with the Warriors in this long foregone conclusion that the Warriors are just going to dominate again next year. And let's not act like they're not going to. But I 100% appreciate that the Rockets are trying to keep it competitive and trying to give us some competition out there and everything, because it really seems like the Eastern Conference has kind of like phoned it in. I mean, everybody can agree with that, right? You know, I mean, what, LeBron is like the only real like true all-star? I mean, yeah, we've got Kyrie and LeBron and Melo and Whiteside, and now we've got Gordon Hayward over here and all that good stuff, you know, Kevin Love. But the West dominates the East in just every facet that there is a conference. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking, why do we even have conferences anymore? Why don't we just take the top 16 teams and just fucking throw them in there? And I think that would kind of almost be a little more exciting. I really hope everybody out there can't hear my cat just wailing in the hallway trying to get into my office. I can't have my cat in here because he's like always trying to be in my face and knock over everything and trying to talk on the keyboard and just like lick my face. So it's just, yeah, maybe I should have him in here because, you know, like I can hear him wailing kind of over my music. So I really hope that doesn't get picked up on the microphone. So if it does, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not abusing my cat, I promise. But back to the NBA, since I guess this is where we're going to like pick up the show. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I could talk baseball. You know, the All-Star break just happened. You know, Bryce Harper's taking some rest during the Trout fucking Harper game in the primetime this week. And I know, I finally got off work. And I was going to B-dubs, and I thought I could, like, finally watch, like, Trout and Harper go at it. I wasn't able to see Trout go 4-for-4 the other night. And I thought it was kind of bogus that he, like, sat out tonight because he, like, wanted to spend some time with his family. And, hey, I totally get that. Spend some time with your family, yada, yada. But you all did just get a break from the All-Star, like, that All-Star week and everything, right? I mean, y'all got a couple days off to rest and kind of spend some time with your family and everything. And this is that age-old debate of resting and stars and all of that good stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, man, I do hate it. I hate it when stars rest. Sorry, everybody, I'm drinking. Burping, I don't want to burp in the mic. I do hate it when stars don't compete on prime time against another star and they just want to sit out when there's no injury. When there's no injury situation, you know what I'm saying? I almost feel like it should be what's the word I'm looking for? I'm super drunk here. It should be in your contract that you should have to play on these like certain primetime nights. I mean, if you're going to take a fucking night off, it should be either when you're at home or when you're playing like one of the worst teams in the fucking division or in the league or something. You know what I'm saying? A Trout Harper matchup. I really wanted to see that. And sadly I got shafted. So that's the only baseball I'm going to talk about, even though the baseball trade deadline, or not the trade, yeah, all trades and stuff are kind of happening as I speak. There was a pretty good one between, what, the Yankees and the Diamondbacks and the Astros and the Yankees and all that good stuff. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know baseball. Sadly, I don't have my baseball aficionado with me anymore. So let's go back to some NBA where I can actually talk about. I'm not really going to talk about the finals and LeBron and Carmelo and should he get out of the Knicks and everything, you know, I mean, everybody hears that kind of stuff everywhere, you know, but I hope people out there actually kind of watch the Summer League this year, and from the ratings, which are up 120%, I would say a lot of you guys out there did watch the Summer League this year. And that's pretty awesome, because I'm not going to lie, this draft class may seem kind of special, because I honestly can't remember the last time that I actually paid attention to the Summer League, you know, and am I going to credit that to Fultz and Lonzo and the Foxes and the Tatums and stuff? Yeah, of course. Is Lonzo Ball maybe going to get a little more of that love? Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it is. Because coming into the draft, and longtime listeners and everybody out there, I don't know, y'all kind of know my stance on, like, I'm not a huge fan of that dude's dad. Who is, really? You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I'm all about, like, supporting your kids and being there for them, you know, and all that good stuff. Like, you know, I come from two broken homes. I don't know my biological father and all that good stuff. So it's like, I respect fathers that want to continue to, like, stay in their kids' lives and, like, help promote that shit. But sooner or later, you kind of do need to, like, shut your flap and kind of take a step back and let the kid ball out, you know? And, if he actually does ball out, then, all right, hey, kind of all the shit that you've been spewing could maybe be a little validated. And, hey, man, this dude's been saying he's better than Steph Curry, and which aren't, you know, not yet, maybe never. But, hey, man, he's the only rookie ever in the Summer League to record multiple triple-doubles. That had never happened before. All rookies in the NBA last year only had one triple-double combined between all of them, and Lonzo had two in the Summer League. The kid averaged 16.7 rebounds, 9 assists. Am I going to eat a little crow? Yeah, I'm going to eat some crow. I'm going to own up to it. Because was I hoping and saying that he was going to be a bust? Yeah, I was. I'll own it. And the dude proved me wrong in Summer League. Now, for everybody out there saying, oh, it's just Summer League and stuff. Hey, man, these are still dudes getting paid to play basketball. They're one step away from actually being in the NBA. And any of those dudes in Summer League would smoke any of us out on the practice court or, you know what I'm saying, out on the blacktop, you know? So it's you got to give props when props are due. And Lonzo Ball balled out. Tatum balled out. I mean, De'Aaron Fox was good. Who was the kid that got drafted out there at the Mavericks? The Dennis Jr. kid. God damn it, out of NC State. I don't understand why I can't remember his name. Maybe that's one of the reasons why my shit isn't getting picked up, because I'm too drunk and I can't remember shit. Ha ha. But yeah, man, Summer League, dude, it was good. Team shined. It's a great class, and I honestly, yes, the Warriors are gonna dominate. The Warriors are going to dominate the next 2018 or 2017-18 NBA season. But, man, there is, honestly, like, a lot to look forward to, really. I mean, how good are the Timber Puppies going to be? The Rockets are trying to be competitive. Is Dwayne Wade going to get a buyout from the Bulls? And is he going to finally go back to Miami? And then is LeBron James, who is clearly unhappy up there in Cleveland, is he going to join Wade and stuff back in Miami? And are all of the Miami fans going to get a taste of the Big Three Part 2? I mean, shit. Like, that would be awesome. Do I see him going back to Miami? To be honestly, everybody, no. I don't see him going back to Miami. If I see LeBron leaving Cleveland, it's going to be... I think it's going to be the Lakers, honestly. Unless the Thunder make some kind of a run. If the Thunder make it to the Western Conference Finals and beat the Warriors, or not beat the Warriors, lose to the Warriors, then I think maybe Paul George could come back and play some more years with Russell Westbrook, you know. But I mean, if they get trounced in the first round, Paul George is gone. He's going to LA to team up with Lonzo. And honestly, I really feel like that's where LeBron's going to go. Everybody knows he wants to get into the Hollywood business. He wants to get into movies. He wants to get into all of that good stuff. Game shows. He's doing it all. I mean, the man is making money. And if, you know, if LeBron really truly wants to continue to compete and to compete with this Warriors super team and stuff, sooner or later, he's probably going to have to take those. He's going to have to take a discount, right? Like Kevin Durant did on that 2-year, $53 million. I mean, he's got to get all of these. Well, maybe not if he goes to the Lakers, because, you know, with Lonzo and Kuzma and fucking Randall and Ingram, like, they still got a lot of early contract bird rights contracts that are kind of cheap. So maybe they could bring in the Paul Georges and the LeBrons. I mean, could Russell Westbrook possibly follow them out to the Lakers, you know, because he is a UCLA guy and a California guy and everything, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I just, yes, the Warriors are gonna win the championship next year, and nobody likes to go into a movie and already knowing the ending. That's no fun. But I still think there are some talking points, and there's just some things around the league, really, that are interesting, you know? And it's, is LeBron going to be on the Cleveland Cavaliers next year? No, I truly don't think he is. Just like I don't think Carmelo is going to be a Knick anymore. I mean, he's probably going to go to the Rockets. And I've never really been a true Carmelo fan, you know, but if you look up his stats, the dude's a scorer. And I just don't know if he would fit too well out there with James Harden and Chris Paul. Because, I mean, everybody talks about there's only like one ball to go around. And yeah, there's really only one ball to go around. And all three of those guys are like super ball dominant kind of players and everything. So, you know, who knows if that would really work together. I mean, everybody saw Carmelo Anthony be the team player and everything on Team USA when they were winning those gold medals and stuff. So, hey, I mean, Melo has shown that he can kind of be the team player and take a step back when all of that talent is together. So, I mean, hey, there's a shit less more talent on that roster or on that Rockets roster than there are on the, you know, the U.S. Olympic teams. So maybe Melo can fit. I mean, he's on the downslope of his career. So if Wade, kind of like Wade, if he wants to take a buyout from the Bulls and go back to the Miami Heat, then he's going to have to come off the bench, because as much as I dislike Dion Waiters, I mean, Dion Waiters, the dude's only 25. I mean, he did have a really good second half of the season before he got injured and everything. But I've never really been a Dion Waiters, Rudy Gay kind of fan. I'm not a fan of the player that goes from team to team to team to team, because that has to say something about you, right? Maybe not your game, but maybe how you are in the locker room or a teammate guy. I mean, Dion Waiters has played with LeBron, he's played with Kevin Durant, and now he's on... And now he's on the Heat, you know. So, I mean, you've played on, you know, the teams with two of the best players to ever play the game. And, like, those guys didn't really want to keep you. So, I mean, what does that really say about you, you know? But everybody knows the Miami Heat has a great culture down there. Like, that's where, honestly, players kind of, like, go to, like, rejuvenate themselves, you know? Pat Riley, like, they honestly know what they're doing. That's why... Talking about summer league, how am I gonna forget about my boy Bam Adebayo? I hope I pronounced that right. As I'm looking at my Goose Island 3-1-T, holy shit, 3-1-2. That's currently what I'm drinking on right now, you know. But truly, I'm gonna call it right now. I think Bam's gonna win Rookie of the Year this year, because I think he's gonna thrive. I think he's gonna thrive down there in that Miami system. Like, I mean, he's got Olynyk now, and he's got Whiteside. I mean, coming off the bench. Yeah, like everybody says, he looks like a young Dwight Howard. And if he can continue to build that muscle, continue to work on that body, and, you know, get a more of an offensive game and stuff, like, he's gonna be a dominant force in this league. John Calipari, when he played here at Kentucky, he utilized him 100% wrong. There would be so many times I would be screaming at the TV on, why has Bam only touched the ball like 6 times? Like, that is ridiculous. Somebody like him, you've got to feed him at least double digits of times, you know? I mean, sometimes I feel like with such a talent like that, and you don't feed them that much, you're kind of like, you're not setting them up to fail in the NBA. But I kind of always go back to the whole Tim Tebow in the NFL thing, when he his unorthodox throwing position. You mean nobody at the University of Florida like thought to tell him that it takes him so long to like release the football, and when you play against men who are getting paid to play this sport, he's going to get eaten alive. And that's exactly what happened. So I feel like college football kind of did Tim Tebow a little wrong there, just like I maybe feel like, you know, John Calipari did Bam a little wrong there because he didn't feed him more. Yeah, we had Fox. Yeah, we had Monk, you know, but I feel like if anybody is going to thrive out of those three guys, I think it's going to be Bam. I mean, it's going to be Bam. I feel like Monk is going to be the third out of those three. Sorry, everybody. It was disappointing that he had, like, a sprained ankle or whatever in, like, most of the summer league and, like, didn't play a lot. Like, that was a real bummer and all that stuff, you know? But, hey, man, Monk, I could say everybody out there knows that I'm a UK homer. And, I mean, just talking about, like, our three big three boys that went to the Kings, the Hornets, and the Heat, I mean, everybody's in a pretty decent situation, right? I mean, the Kings have always been abysmal, but I mean, they picked up some decent free agencies. I mean, you know, with like what who'd they get? They got Vince Carter, Randolph, and you know, to go with Buddy Hield and to go with Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal Labissiere and stuff. I mean, talk about another UK boy. I mean, I feel like they're kind of maybe onto something right there. You know what I'm saying? So it's hey man, like, as much as everybody says next year's gonna be boring and next year's gonna be, you know, it's just a foregone conclusion, maybe you're right, but there's still some damn good talking points, man. You know, like, I can't wait to see what's gonna happen. I didn't even get into like the 76ers and JJ Redick going there, and like, what a great pickup for them. I mean, Redick came out and said that the Rockets offered him more money, and which would be damn good because he would essentially, I guess, take over like Lou Williams kind of spot. You know what I'm saying? Kind of become that that six man A, six man B out there with Eric Gordon and all that stuff. You know, but I don't know. I mean, Redick, I've never, you know, UK fan, I've never been a, like, big Duke supporter of anybody, but if there was, like, one Duke player that I kind of have followed throughout his career and everything, and I guess that would be J.J. Redick, because, you know, hey, man, it felt like J.J. Redick was at Duke for fucking, it felt like he was there forever, you know what I'm saying? So it's, yeah, I think, you know, he's in a good situation out there at Philly. No, I don't think LeBron is going to go to Philly. I mean, here's the thing. If Philly comes out and they ball it, if Embiid, if Simmons can stay healthy and Fultz can, if he can stay competent and show that he is kind of the point guard for the future there, then who knows? Maybe LeBron, you know, recruits some of his buddies and everybody to go there. But I don't know, man. With LeBron James has never played with a caliber of a passer like Lonzo. And what's crazy is I'm even saying that, and Lonzo hasn't even played 1 second in professional basketball, you know? But, I mean, I'm going to give the kids props where they're deserved, dude. I mean, he has court vision that is Jason Kidd-like. It's Steve Nash-like. It's he's going to be a talent. Maybe Magic Johnson needs to slow the roll and talking about retiring jerseys in the banners or in the rafters and all this stuff and comparing him to you and all this. Like, I feel like LeVar has put enough weight on this kid's shoulders where, you know, hey, back off a little. You know what I'm saying? Let him play his rookie season first and let's see what he can do. But hey, man, if Summer League is anything to show what's to come, he's going to be the real deal. And the Lakers could be back. And the Lakers being back is good for the NBA, just like Aaron Judge and the Yankees is good for MLB. And as much as everybody hates it out there, Tom Brady and the Patriots, and when the Cowboys are really good, like, that's good for the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I mean, your biggest stars, when they shine, it's good for your sport. And talking about the Cowboys and Ezekiel, you know, and all of that Ezekiel Elliott shit, you know, we've got 50, what, as I record this, there's what, 49 days left till the start of the season of football and everything. So I'm sure everybody out there is getting fantasy ready and stuff. I think I'll talk some football in the next segment and kind of finish off talking about basketball here as I look down at my notes. And the last thing I have on basketball Adam Silver thinks that in the next few years that NBA betting and NBA gambling and all of that good stuff is going to become legal in the league. And do I agree with him? I don't know, to be honest. Because if you look at a lot of these states with the DraftKings and the FanDuels and not a lot of places can't have casinos, and here in Kentucky where I reside, we bet on horse racing, but we don't have casinos. We have to go over across the bridge to Indiana and go to the horseshoe and stuff like that. So it's like, we can bet on horses, but we can't put our own money into a slot machine or play some cards and shit, you know? I don't know. That's kind of weird. But fucking what isn't weird in everybody's state's law sometimes and shit, you know? But I don't know, man. I feel like they should let betting into the NBA because, I mean, just my crew, I'm not a very big gambler, but I have a lot of buddies that love prop bets. They love betting money, you know, they love gambling. And if they were to bring that into the NBA, there's almost unlimited amount of things that you could bet on it's an unlimited amount. I mean, I could go down the line, but it's almost one of those things where it's like, there is so much money to be made there, it's almost stupid that they're not gonna like legalize it and just let it go. I mean, that's almost just kind of like marijuana, you know? I'm not gonna lie, like, I don't like to get into politics or anything like that, and I'm not gonna get into politics, but I truly thought when Donald Trump got into office and he saw how much like tax revenue and everything that was being made off marijuana, I thought he was just gonna try to like legalize that shit everywhere, and that's how he was gonna pay for his dumbass wall, you know? But it's kind of crazy like that he has like an opposite stance on that, you know? Sometimes it's out there, it's like there's such sure deal money makers that honestly kind of like don't. I mean, does it really hurt anybody? Yeah, I mean, I guess it does hurt you if you like bet your rent money and you know, you can't pay rent anymore because you bet the Timber Puppies are gonna make over 12 threes or whatever, like in the ball game, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, yeah, I mean, you know, there's it's the yin and yang of everything in life. There's always an evil to a good, you know? I mean, that is the balance of life. So, as I'm looking at the clock, we're kind of at the end of this quarter. So, as I always say this when I do it solo, that we're going to keep this show kind of short, but I think this is only going to be kind of a two-quarter episode, you know? So, it's going to be kind of a soccer match. Not as long as a soccer match, but talking about soccer. Oh, the Gold Cup is going on, and how is the USA doing? So, coming back from break, I'll let you guys know. Pin sounds, you know what to do. Think I have anything else to talk about on the NBA front. I would like to talk about a little NFL football and everything, maybe play that drop and stuff, but I just don't really have that much wrote down for NFL, you know? I mean, it's July, everybody. I mean, it's kind of a dead month. Like, training camps are like just now starting to kind of like, they're now open and stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess we could talk about maybe the Chargers being the most unlucky NFL franchise of all time. I mean, poor Philip Rivers, just constantly living in his NFL purgatory. Now it's come out that their first-round draft pick, Mr. Mike Williams, may have to get back surgery and could be out for his entire rookie season. I mean, goddamn. That sucks so hard for them, you know? And it's, I'm really surprised Philip Rivers has stayed there as long as he has, you know? And I guess, we could talk about the Cowboys for a second. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, Jerry Jones, you're going to have to get him a babysitter like you did with Des Bryant, because clearly this kid, I don't want to say he can't deal with fame, you know what I'm saying? Because I can't imagine being 19, 20, 21 years old and like being kind of like at the top of the world of a sports franchise and stuff like that, or being like the face of a franchise that young. And it's like a lot of these kids can't even drink yet. and they're making millions of dollars, and we're expecting them to be like the most perfect of model of citizens and everything, you know? And it's like, I would hope that I would like be professional and how I would think I would be in my head. But like, none of us would ever know that until we're like thrown into that situation. But somebody like Ezekiel Elliott, who has already, you know, who's already kind of been under investigation for like a domestic violence thing, which is going to like give him 6 games if he's convicted. And really everybody out there wanted Roger Goodell to be the commissioner on that stuff. So he doesn't really even have to be convicted of anything. Just the fact that he has that shit like on his resume, Goodell could just give him the 6-game suspension and all of that. And now we hear that he's like knocked out some DJ in a club, and then he just got pulled over for like doing like 100 miles an hour, like crazy speeding when he shouldn't have been. And it's just like, come on, kid. Like, I know you've got the world in front of you and everything, but don't fucking blow it, man. Don't be a Johnny Manziel. Don't be a what was the receiver out there for the Browns? I don't know why I can't think of his name right now. It'll come to me. I'm just going to shout it out later in the show. Josh Gordon. There it is. It's almost like a fucking superhero name, really. It's a Jerry Jones. Get your fucking kid in order, you know? And I'm not gonna, oh man, see, I say I'm not gonna talk about the Kaepernick stuff because everybody is so fucking tired of hearing about the Colin Kaepernick talk, and is he getting blackballed, and is it fair, yada, yada, yada. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna piggyback off a sports analyst that I had listened to earlier in the week, and I thought his take was pretty damn good on the fact that, is Colin Kaepernick being blackballed? I'm going to touch on this very, very quickly and briefly. Quite possibly. But are more of the owner, is it more of a coward situation on the owner's part than it is being blackballed? Yes. Because let's be real, more than half of the NFL teams don't need this guy to be a start. They don't need this guy on their roster. The Packers, we've got quality backups. You can go down the line and I would say probably 20, 21 out of the 32 teams probably have a quality like backup, you know? So I really feel like, is it being blackballed? Yes, by the Jets, who their owner or their the person who owns the team. Yeah, the owner. He's like a big Trump supporter and he's like all American and all this and that. And like, you want to know what? Like, yes, I truly believe with Kaepernick's calls, I do. You know, like the police brutalities, all of that stuff. I do agree with it and everything. But some people could say that like Colin Kaepernick kind of comes off as non-American. You know, the fact that he's like over in Ghana on the 4th of July trying to find himself, yada, yada. Hey, that's good. More power to you, man. Go find yourself, you know, because you're a damn good athlete. You torched the Packers when we fucking played you when you were a starter out there with Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers and stuff. Like, that's the only thing I really have against you. Like, more power to you. You know, but for somebody that's going to be a backup quarterback, like a lot of owners and teams just don't want to deal with the baggage of possibly losing a fan base and possibly like bringing that in when he's just going to be a backup, you know, because truly, if you look right now, there's 3 teams, honestly, that could truly use him, and that's the Jets, the Browns, and the Texans. Really? And, I mean, with the Jets, with their owner being a Trump supporter, the Browns are always fucking nothing. And, you know, the Texans out there, I mean, they drafted Deshaun Watson. I'm sure they're going to want to see what they have in that kid and everything. So it's, I mean, sometimes it's like, should Colin Kaepernick drop his calls? Absolutely not. But you want to know what, man? Sometimes you just have to like, what truly matters? Do you want to be an activist or do you want to be a football player? Because sometimes you cannot have your cake and eat it too. Sometimes life doesn't work out like that. And I'm not saying, Kaepernick, for you to go out there and like stop your cause, because no, it's a noble cause. It really is. But if you truly like want to be a starter in the NFL, I mean, like a lot of the owners, they're just scared to bring that kind of, I'm going to call it baggage. They're scared to bring that kind of circus in when he's not going to be the starter. And can I understand and see that point of view? Yeah, I can. Is it right? Absolutely not. Because Kaepernick should be on an NFL roster. I mean, he has the talent out there, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I'm also not going to be blind on the fact that if a team has a very stereotypical non-run, a very pocket passer kind of offense, like, yeah, I mean, Colin Kaepernick kind of does bring in, like, is he a pretty good pocket passer? Yeah, he's pretty decent, you know? But he is going to have a very different kind of, like, playbook than I'm not going to say, like, a Tom Brady or a Ben Roethlisberger, because they're kind of, like, at the end of their ages. But he's going to have, like, a different playbook for players that, like, don't run and stuff. But is that a good excuse? No. At the end of the day, could Colin Kaepernick be blackballed? Quite possibly. But I'm going to piggyback off an analysis that I heard this week, that it's more about cowardice than it is about being blackballed, really, at the end of the day, you know? And I feel like that was kind of a take that I hadn't really heard before, and I don't know, I liked it. And, you know, that's just kind of my two cents on it. Kaepernick, keep doing you, motherfucker, because you want to know what? Who knows who's going to get hurt in training camp? And all of that good stuff, you know? So, you know, I'm sure a team could become calling for you. And I'm sorry for for the cats wailing and for the bells and for my dog licking themselves. It's, yeah, I mean, what can I do? My animals want to be around me when I record, you know, and I'm just, they are a slight nuisance sometimes, but I love them. So I feel like that's all that's kind of all the NFL talk I have. I wish I had a movie drop to play right now before I get into kind of some movie talk and stuff, but sadly, I do not. And for longtime listeners of the show that knew I was doing a movie podcast called Fandom Redux, that sadly has kind of taken a step back a little, because we haven't really had the time to do that either. And I was going to do more like movie talk and everything on that side, you know, because that's mainly what that podcast is about. But hey, since we don't have the time to really do that right now, I'll throw on a little movie talk and stuff through here, you know. And as I'm drinking a beer, limits everybody out there, if you're drinking with me, if you got a drink in your hand, let's all raise our glasses to the late George Romero. Sadly, he passed away before I recorded this podcast and everything. But you know, one of the godfathers of horror, the godfather of zombies and all that good stuff. And it's you will be missed, sir. And it has come out that Romero had 4 unproduced film scripts that he was trying to get into the works before he passed away. 2 were based on novels, 2 were original thoughts, and 1 was a zombie comedy. So maybe kind of along the lines of a Zombieland and all of that good stuff. But sadly, before he passed, he was about to go pitch a movie called Road of the Dead. So who knows what that really could have been about, you know? But his longtime producer and friend Matt Berman plans to bring those scripts and everything to life later on down the road and everything to honor his name and to get those scripts, give those scripts some life and everything. So hopefully we will be able to continue to see some Romero work long after he has joined the resting place of the dead. So if anybody's been following all of the Disney live action movies that they've been doing or that they're talking about doing, the D23 stuff, that convention was last weekend and everything, and a lot of the people saw the opening footage of the live action Lion King movie, and apparently Twitter and everybody freaked out because it looked amazing and everybody can't wait to see the movie. Hugh Jackman has been cast as Scar. That is fucking pretty sweet. John Oliver is Zazu. Seth Rogen is Pumbaa. This really is shaping up to be a great ensemble and hopefully a great movie. You know, sadly, something that I'm not too fond of right now is everything that's happening around Aladdin, really, because I'm not really a Guy Ritchie fan, you know. I'm not. And Aladdin is apparently, it's not really going to be a shot-for-shot remake, kind of how, not, I mean, Beauty and the Beast brought some new stuff to the table. They had, like, a new song and all that good stuff and everything, but it kind of did stay true a little, you know, to the animated feature and all that good stuff. And apparently, the Aladdin, Guy Ritchie's Aladdin movie is supposed to be, like, a mix between the actual cartoon and 1001 Arabian Nights and all of that good stuff, so apparently, it's come out that everybody's been cast. Aladdin is a unknown star. Sadly, I'm going to butcher his name. And as I'm sitting here trying to look it up, why can't I fucking find his name in his notes? But yes, Aladdin is an unknown actor, which I actually do thoroughly like. Jasmine is being played by Naomi Scott. Aladdin is, all right, everybody ready for this? Mina Massad? I don't know. Like, I just butchered his last name, you know. But Naomi Scott, a.k.a. the Pink Ranger, I believe, from the newest Power Rangers movie. I have sadly not seen it. As big as I am, or as big as I was a fan of Power Rangers growing up, I don't understand why I haven't seen it, because it's that red box, you know what I'm saying? But yes, she got cast as Jasmine, which, okay, I'm on board with those two, you know? I like it when unknown actors kind of get their due, and, you know, hey, that's how you kind of discover some of the greats and stuff. But something I'm not down with, Will Smith as the genie. I mean, do I love me some Will Smith? Yeah, grew up the guy. I love Will Smith. I love Tom Cruise. Kind of a little love-hate relationship with Mel Gibson and stuff because of Braveheart and everything and how I grew up with him and stuff too, you know? But I just, man, I just can't really see Will Smith playing the genie. Is he charismatic? Does he have comedic chops? Yeah, you know? Does he have range? Yeah. So as I say that stuff out loud, maybe I should give him a chance, and I'm going to give him a chance, yeah. But off first glance, like, that Will Smith wouldn't be who I thought, who I would have cast for the genie, you know what I'm saying? One thing I do like about it, though, is Will Smith being cast for the genie, to me, that screams that they're not going to try to recreate Robin Williams' genie. And that's, I feel like that's almost one of the biggest things that they have going for it, is that they're not going to try to replicate the gold that Robin Williams has in that, you know, because if they tried to replicate that, then it's just, it would die immediately. So I like that they're maybe trying to, well, of course, Guy Ritchie's attached, so of course it's going to be like some kind of different take. And I don't know, man, like, as you look at Disney's plans for their live action features, I mean, Mulan is supposed to be like a female crouching tiger, like, epic kind of like war movie and all of this stuff, you know? So, like, I kind of like that they're kind of maybe taking different strikes with these movies, not trying to just rehash the animated features and trying to do something a little different. That's why I truly think, if anybody listened to our fairy tale podcast on Fandom Redux, everybody go out there and check it out. You know, we have a couple good episodes there. I think we got about 6-7 episodes deep onto that. And but we had a fairy tale episode, and I brought up, I mean, if Aladdin is supposed to, like, not be so much of a musical and supposed to be more of kind of like a street gangster, kind of like, not a street gangster, but yeah, if it's supposed to be kind of like more street gang, all right, I'm just gonna say it, street gangster. I mean, this is Guy Ritchie, all right? He makes fucking gangster movies and stuff like that, you know? And if Mulan is supposed to be like a female, like, epic crouching tiger, like, war epic, like, I like that, you know, again, I like that they're taking different strides. So we need a comedic chop of a movie, right? And like I said on that podcast, I think let's bring some Robin Hood. Yes, everybody is tired of the fucking Robin Hood, but let me just throw out these three actors, okay? Let me throw out James Franco playing Robin Hood, Seth Rogen playing Brother John, and then Danny McBride playing the Sheriff of Nottingham. I mean, tell me everybody out there wouldn't want to go see that. I mean, that's just the fucking perfect ensemble for that cast. You know what I'm saying? But hey, man, I don't know. I like what Disney's doing. with their live action movies and everything, even if I'm not on board with Will Smith as the genie. And hey, what does everybody out there think? Comment on it. Talk to me about it. You know? So looking down, what else I got here? Apparently Hollywood wants to make an Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake. That's not surprising because they wanna fucking remake everything out there that has ever made any kind of money. You know what I'm saying? And if there's something that I'm going to... All right, so there is a... Everybody out there knows that one of my favorite movies of all time is The Zodiac. And there has... Recently, there has been a trailer come out with Michael Fassbender, who plays a detective, that's called The Snowman. And everybody out there should go check this trailer out because it looks fantastic. It's Michael Fassbender. And this movie is about, it's about a lead detective, which is Michael Fassbender. He investigates a disappearance of a victim of the first snow of the winter, and he fears that a elusive serial killer may be active again. So basically, the movie is kind of about these cops have to kind of go connect decade-old cases to the brutal new ones. And if he hopes to outwit this unthinkable evil before the next snowfall to try to catch the killer. I mean, that just screams fucking right up my alley. You know what I'm saying? And I think being a graphic designer, I think the poster is pretty clever because they, if I can remember correctly, when I saw it, it's basically kind of like a Zodiac note. It's almost kind of like a note sent to the police Zodiac kind of style. And there is a snowman on the front, and the snowman is made up of like different bloods. It's like bloods of a blood stain, you know. And that's pretty clever. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait to see this movie. Everybody out there, go check out The Snowman. I'll actually post a trailer in the comments of this current episode, so everybody can go watch it. So. Looking down, really, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, that's really all the things that I have to talk about movies. Here I was thinking the show was only going to last about 30 minutes, and I'm about to go into the third quarter. So, teasing the next third quarter, I mean, I will go ahead and say right now, I'm going to talk about Game of Thrones and a little Harry Potter, more Game of Thrones over Harry Potter. But if anybody does not want anything Game of Thrones spoiled, if you haven't watched the most recent episode, then I will, I'll go ahead and say goodbye to all of you. I love that you listen. If you could give me any kind of feedback, rate me, just talk to me, guys. You know what I'm saying? I would love to hear from you. I would love to know what you all want to talk about, what you want me to talk about. Just interact with me, guys. You know what I'm saying? Any feedback is good feedback. I love you all. So if you don't want to hear anything about Game of Thrones, this is where I leave you. If you want to hear about Game of Thrones, come back next segment. So, Ben Sounds, you know what to do. Talk. So what a fucking episode, right? I mean, the way season 7 opened was fucking fabulous, because the way it opened, you were like, oh shit, all right, so we see Water Frey here, House Frey. Everybody knows that he got assassinated by Arya in the last season and everything. So it's like, all right, and I dropped my pen, sorry everybody. Everybody's thinking, all right, is this a flashback or what's happening right now? And then, you know, when he goes to toast and when everybody else takes a drink and he doesn't take a drink, I'm like, oh shit, fucking Arya has his face. This is fucking awesome. And what a fucking opening. You know what I'm saying? Arya is becoming one of the most badass fucking characters in the show. I mean, she has been for like quite amount of time. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, goddamn, what an opening. It got me so hyped. It got me so hyped. The entire episode overall, though, I thought was pretty fucking brilliant. I loved it. It covered a lot of bases. You know, I mean, I love that you kind of like see the dynamic, you know, like the dynamic between John and Sansa, like her kind of like stepping out of bounds and kind of like questioning his decisions, you know, because she's like, she's seen a lot of shit. If there's anybody out there that could possibly like take the throne, it could be Sansa, you know. And but I don't really think, you know, she's new to the wall and everything. So it's like, I don't really think she knows. Sorry, everybody. Burping. She knows Jon Snow's. She knows Snow's position on the watch and everything. You know what I'm saying? And like, did maybe she see that was undermining him at the time? Maybe not, you know. So who knows? Hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully she doesn't do it again, because fucking we all love some fucking powerful women and stuff. But yeah, like, it's always bad to kind of like undermine your like captain and stuff, like when you're on his side and everything, you know. So it's like we covered that. I mean, I'm sure everybody barfed during Sam's fucking montage and shit. Oh my god, that was awful. But did anybody see Mormont reaching out and grabbing Sam like that? Like, that was such a surprise to me. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, how did he get there with the maesters and in those jail cells and everything? I mean, did he go to the city possibly hoping that he could find a cure or something for it, and he's too far gone, and then they just like threw him in the cell because he didn't want the shit, they didn't want everything to get spread and stuff? Like, that was insane. You know, it was like, what a good little Easter egg right there, you know? And it's like, there's so much more to come to that. And you know, and it's a, I could recap the entire episode, and I'm not really going to recap the entire episode, you know, because I mean, I'm sure everybody out there watched it. You know, Daenerys is back in Stannis's castle. Like, I love how everybody out there was probably like, wait, what castle is this? Until everybody like finally saw the table, and then they were like, oh yeah, this is Stannis's old place and all that good stuff, you know? And the way it ended was fucking perfect, because, like, now she's here, now she's ready to fuck some shit up and stuff. But really, what I want to talk about, well, really, kind of what I want to talk about is, I'm going to butcher his name, Euron, E-U-R-O-N, Euron, yeah? The Greyjoy, the leader of the Greyjoys out there on, I can't remember what fucking island they're on, you know what I'm saying? But he sails to King's Landing with 1,000 ships, and he has that little dig at Jaime where he's like, I come with 1,000 ships and 2 good hands. And I was like, oh shit, when that, like, real time when that happened, you know? I was like, oh, that was such a good little dig and shit, you know? And I truly think that Jaime and Cersei are going to become, they're going to be enemies when this is all said and done. So before season 7 came out, it was known that a big name character this season was going to bite the dust. And I think I'm gonna make a prediction right now that the writers are gonna give Arya her due, because Arya is just checking everybody off that list, and I think I may call that Arya. See, I want to say that Arya kills Jaime Lannister and then takes his face and then kills Cersei like that. But since last season and from here on, it seems like there's been such a huge divide between the Lannister brother and sister, you know, and it's like, so maybe like that kind of prediction could maybe be a little far off there, because I don't know, Jaime's not going to be on Cersei's side, I really feel like, when this season is all said and done and everything, you know what I'm saying? But here is my main prediction of this season. Well, this is my main prediction that I think is going to happen. Going back to, I'm just going to call him Euron. That's what I'm going to call him. I know I'm butchering it. I'm sorry. I'm drunk. I'm butchering it. E-U-R-O-N. That's his name. Pronounce it however you would like. But, I'm sorry, I'm burping. When he tells Cersei that he's going to go out and bring her a gift that she cannot refuse his hand, basically can't refuse him anymore, you know, because she's like, oh, I refuse your offer because you're a dickhead, you betray everybody, you killed your brother, and you can't be trusted. You know what I'm saying? So then he's like, all right, well, I'll bring you a gift that you cannot say no to me. So there's two things, possibly, that just jump right off the mind. One, that is, he could possibly go and bring either Sansa or Tyrion to her, because those are kind of like her two enemies, you know? Or he could already know of the cave where the dragon glass is that Sam found, that he then sent a note to Jon. Or maybe he intercepts said carrier pigeon and then finds out about the dragon glass and then goes and gives it to her, you know, and then goes and finds and then gives it to Cersei and all of that. But really, dragon glass, from my knowledge, I'm not really a big reader of the, I haven't really read any of the books. So dragon glass really only affects the walkers and stuff, right? It's not like a dragon killer, even though it's called dragon glass. So I don't, Cersei's not worried. Nobody is worried about the walkers besides those in the north. So I don't really feel like why there's not social media or anything. So it's like bringing Cersei dragonglass, I don't really feel like would be something that she would be like, that she would qualm to his feet to. So I found out a little tidbit in the books of lore that it's not used. It's not used yet. It's there, but it's not used. And now from season 7 and on, this is all like new lore. They're not pulling anything from the books. This is all the writers creating Game of Thrones. Yes, they know how it ends. So, I mean, they're writing it and, you know, like with that in mind and stuff. But this is all new lore and everything. So, in the books, there is a horn called Dragonbinder. Now, by the name, what do you think that means? It means you can control a motherfucking dragon. So my prediction is that he either has or he knows where or finds where this horn is, tames one of Daenerys' dragons, and then brings it back to Cersei. Now, a lot of people would ask, well, how is he going to know where Daenerys is? How would he know that Daenerys has already landed, you know, on the shores and all of that good stuff? Like, yeah, there's not social media. I don't know how he would know that. But I just don't see any other thing other than fucking either Tyrion, Sansa, or bringing her a dragon that is going to make her kind of see him in a different light. If he brings her a motherfucking dragon, then holy motherfucking shit. Because I'm everybody out there knows I'm a huge high fantasy guy, and I kind of feel like Game of Thrones has downplayed how powerful somebody is with three dragons, because nobody can fucking stop that. The walkers could stop that, and then, oh shit, what if the walkers somehow kill one of the dragons, and then the dragons become like a fucking Draco Lich or something like that, like an undead dragon. Oh my god, that would be so awesome, you know? But hey, we only have, there's only 7 episodes in this season, and I think there's only 6 episodes next season, so we're already one down, so we only have like 12, all right, I'm going to give or take. We have 12 episodes left in the entire Game of Thrones saga. So, like, I don't know, like, taking a dragon into being, I don't know, there's so much ground to cover, you know? But when I heard about the Horn Dragonbinder, it all kind of came together in my head where I was like, he's going to bring her a motherfucking dragon, because Daenerys and three dragons will own all of the lands. She's going to own it all. But if it's 2v1 and it's, you know, the Lannister army again with the Grayscale army against Daenerys's Unsullied, who in my opinion are kind of a bunch of pussies a little, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not a bunch of pussies, but in my opinion, if you give away your penis, you should, I don't know, Mr. Grey Worm, you should have been able to take out those 12 motherfucking, the Sons of the Harpy. I think it was back in season, was it season 5 or was it season 6? There's so many names that I don't really remember. It's like him and the old guy, they're like trapped in the alleyway and there's like 12 Sons of the Harpy around them and everything. And they basically like get their ass beat. And it's like, I'm sorry, if I gave away my penis, I better be one of the fucking most dominant fighters that there are in the land. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like the Unsullied, I really feel like they kind of got dispatched, like they got dispatched pretty easily right there, you know? So it's one of those things. It's like Daenerys with the Unsullied and three dragons is essentially, I'm going to put it into the terms of Aragorn waking up the undead army that just wipes over Minas Tirith. Because, like, you can't stop three dragons, man. Like, you just can't stop three dragons when they're different colors. And I don't really know if Game of Thrones is really going into, like, that deep a lore of dragons. Because I'm super into, like, again, high fantasy guy. And the D&D realms and the Forgotten Realms and things like that, different colored dragons have different attributes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, the red dragons breathe fire. The green ones have acid. Gold ones do different kind of things. You know, well, there's not a gold dragon. But yeah, like, see, this is where I'm getting super nerdy and getting my, into my super lore. But that's my prediction. I think the Horned Dragonbinder is going to make an appearance. And Daenerys is going to get a dragon to battle Daenerys and or Cersei's gonna get a dragon to battle Daenerys and all of that good stuff, you know. And what the hounds, so let's oh, there's still so, man, it's so insane, there's still so much to cover in this episode, because like I didn't even get to that. Or let's kind of get to the Hound for a second, because like, he, what did the Hound see in the fire? I mean, the Hound saw like a big block of ice, or like, basically, in my opinion, I interpreted the Hound saw the wall falling, the wall crumbling. Now, is that, do the White Walkers take it down? Do one of the dragons take it down? Does something happen? But I took that as the White Walkers somehow take down the wall and they're going to like invade. Yeah, they're going to invade all of Westeros. Really hope I got that right, because I'm super drunk right. Well, not super drunk, but I'm pretty drunk right now. And it's yeah, so who knows? I mean, I think, would it be awesome if the fucking White Walkers just dominated everything and that's like how Game of Thrones ended? Because let's all, Game of Thrones is such a batshit crazy, you never know where the show is going to go kind of show. Like, would that surprise you if the White Walkers just took over everything? Maybe not. But it kind of would, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we all kind of want some kind of a happy resolution, you know what I'm saying? But the Hound definitely saw the wall crumbling. That's how I interpreted that and everything. And I guess the last little thing I'll talk about is Mr. Ed Sheeran. That was an interesting cameo, right? You know, but apparently Ed Sheeran has deleted his Twitter account, like, hours after that show, hours after it was aired and everything, because I guess everybody was like giving him grief and all of that good stuff, you know. But hey man, doesn't all celebrities know that there's just haters out there that just love to hate? So sometimes you just can't really listen to those mentions, you know what I'm saying? So that's really all I really want to add on Game of Thrones. I will be recapping every episode every week, so that should be kind of fun. So the last thing I am looking down here on my notes, the last thing I want to add for all of Harry Potter fans out there, there's going to be two new books published this year, published in October. Now, the first book is, first they're going, apparently they're going to be, they're going to be displayed in Britain has a, they have a Harry Potter exhibit, like in one of, I don't know, they have some kind of an exhibit over there in Britain in one of their libraries, and these two books are going to kind of be on display before they get published, but they're going to get published in October. And the first one is called Harry Potter: A History of Magic, the book of the exhibition, which promises to take readers through the subjects studied at Hogwarts, the Wizarding School of Hogwarts. So that should be kind of cool, you know, to kind of like go into the in-depth on like what they were learning and everything. And the second one is called Harry Potter: A Journey Through a History of Magic, and that will touch on the mythical things such as alchemy, unicorns, and ancient witchcraft. So both of these books will be published in October. And for Harry Potter fans out there, I'm going to eat it up. Sadly, I haven't read the Cursed Child, you know, and it's But I'll get onto that sooner or later. For everybody out there, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you should check out the audio books of them, because the author that reads the books and stuff, he does different voices for everybody, and it's so spot on, from Sirius to McGonagall to Hagrid to it's so good. I listen, honestly, when I'm at work, I listen to them weekly. Like, it's insane. It's almost kind of like becoming an addiction. You know what I'm saying? But they're so good. If you got Audible, shout out to Audible. Check them out, man. Like, because it's absolutely worth it. So, looking down at the notes, I kind of feel like that's all I have for this week's episode. Hey, everybody, you know, we got a solid hour. You know what I'm saying? You got a solid hour with this beautiful voice. And I hope everybody enjoyed, what I brought to the table. And I would love it if you would rate us, if you would comment, if you would write us an email at therotationpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you want to talk about. Let me know what you want me to talk about. Even if you give us a 2-3-4-star review on iTunes, I'll read that shit on air. You know what I'm saying? Who gives a shit? Any publicity is good publicity, right? You know? So you can find us on our website at www.therotationpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Rotation Pod. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher. Possibly we're about to be on Amazon and how they do things and all that good stuff. So basically where you can find podcasts on social media, you can probably find this podcast. So again, I would love it if you guys could talk to me, if you could rate. I would love you guys forever. I love you for listening and coming back every week as it is. So for episode 81, my name is Curtis Gabriel, and I'll see everybody next week.
Shut up and sit down.